Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm Lisa Scheffler, and I'm your host, and today I am joined by Senior Pastor of Christ Fellowship, Bruce Miller. And we are in the middle of a series called Be a Part of the Story, where we're talking to people about how they can get involved in the life of the church. And today we're going to talk about connecting in a group. Why is that important? Why is it important that you are connected with other believers? We're going to talk about that next. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm here with Bruce. Say hello, Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
That joke never gets old. I don't know if how our listeners feel about it, but it never gets old for me. Okay.
I thought I was the first one to say that.
You thought? No one else in the history of the world has thought of that. Okay, we are glad to be here. We've had some technical difficulties, but we are rolling now. So here we go. We are in the middle of our Be a Part of the Story series, which is just really an opportunity for us to all kind of look at the fundamentals of what practices as a Christian should we be doing.
And when you put these in your place, you really do grow.
You really will grow. And they're not anything revolutionary. These are practices that Christians have done for 2,000 years.
It's not complicated. It's not profound. It's not like you have to be a super intellect or something to do these.
Nope. But they're just disciplines, things that
are good.
And
yet so many people don't do them.
Right. Right. And we're going to talk about...
And they wonder why they don't grow.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about some of the reasons why they give for not doing them. But this week, we're moving around clockwise the X. If you don't know what the X is, it's kind of our four practices. We came up with a nifty diagram, I don't know, probably 10, 15 years ago now, that helps sort of visualize what these practices are. And we arrange them around an X. Top of the X is engage God individually, which Dr. Trent, our speaker from Rise, talked about last Sunday. And then he was also on the podcast last week. So if you missed it, go back and listen. He had some great stories. And then we're moving clockwise around to the right, and we're at connect in a group. And that's a good time to talk about this because we're right in the middle of group connect season.
That's right.
Where we're encouraging people to sign
up for
some groups.
One of the easiest times in the year to join a group at Christ Fellowship.
Yeah, because everything's starting and it feels brand new. So let's talk a little bit about why this is such an important topic. It's not just because it's the start of school and this is the time of year we talk about this stuff. This really matters because groups help with one of the major afflictions of individuals in our world, which is loneliness.
That's right.
I looked up some loneliness stats that Bruce and I were both like, wow, really? 52% of Americans report feeling lonely. 47% of Americans report their relationships with others are not meaningful. And 57%, single or not, of Americans report eating all meals alone.
It's really sad. Yeah. I don't like to eat alone myself.
I don't either, but 57% of Americans eat alone. So over half of Americans are feeling lonely. That's a lot of, and that's including people in the church. This is not something that is unique to the world outside the church. This is happening in our own homes where people are feeling lonely and disconnected. And there's lots of reasons for that. We talked about this a couple of episodes ago on the podcast on the vision, but part of it's technology. Part of it's just the way we live and work. We live in our single family homes with a garage and we go in the driveway and we get in out of our car and go in our house and we're just there. We're not out, you know, at the well the way they were in Jesus's day. So we just are more isolated and it takes more effort, I think.
Yeah, we're not a pedestrian society where we're walking everywhere to the store and down the dusty street. We're driving in air-conditioned cars, pulling into garages, close the door, walk into an air-conditioned house. And when it's 110 outside...
that's a blessing. But
nobody wants to go outside. But as a result, and then we order, more and more people order everything they want to buy through Amazon.
Right.
And they order their food to be delivered. And so you really don't see people.
Yeah, you could really go... Well, and we all practiced this during COVID, where you could go a whole week without seeing another person who wasn't living in your home.
COVID made it worse, and it developed some habits that have made it worse.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like we just got used to, you know, binging Netflix and ordering DoorDash and staying home.
That's right.
And, you know, and now more people are working from home.
That's
so
right.
They don't even hang out in don't the hallways
even have an office or like a break room at the office.
Right. Which is where a lot of conversations happen and where you get to know people. So yeah, it's just a different world that we live in. And I don't know that this would have been such, I think people have always been lonely throughout the history of the world, but I think it's particularly bad in our modern society in a way it probably never has been.
Yeah, I agree. And it's affecting mental health.
And kids. It's affecting our kids. Is. So yeah, so we want to talk about one way to overcome these feelings of loneliness is to connect with other believers. Now, but first I want to ask Bruce, this really shouldn't be surprising that loneliness is a problem because the Bible tells us that we were meant to be in community with other believers. And you're going to talk about this a little bit in your sermon. But I think it's fascinating that, first of all, one of the reasons we know that we were meant to be in community with others is because God is in community all the time.
Yeah, I think that's the deepest truth on this topic is that God is a Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really different than Islam, where you have Allah, a single solitary God,
mm-hmm.
or Hinduism, where you have a crowd of gods. You have polytheism with hundreds right. of gods. God is a Trinity. He's a small group. I mean, it could sound crass to say he was the original small group, but he's the archetype of community. That sounds more fancy. But he's really God himself is in relationship, in community. So relationality, love is part of who God is and he made us in his image. And so then we too are made for community. We're made for relationship. We're not made to be alone.
Yeah. I think that's fascinating too when you think about it, because some people kind of criticize the Trinity as like, isn't Christianity kind of weird for having God in three? How is that even possible? But it's like, it's actually really a beautiful thing, because if God weren't in community with the Spirit, the Father, and the Son, how would God know what love is?
That's right. And God is love.
God is love because he lives in a loving relationship.
That's right. That's eternal.
Yeah.
He's been in an eternally loving trinity of persons way before we existed.
Because you can't have love without an object. You have to have something to love to
That's
express
right.
love. But God, in his infinite love, in his vast love, wasn't content to just live with the other members of the Trinity, but he decided to create human beings to pour out his love on. And yet we were also meant to have other human beings. We don't just commune with God, although that is important. And we talked about that last week. But we commune with other people. And where do we get that idea, Bruce?
Yeah, just right out of God creating Eve for Adam.
Yeah.
That Adam was not meant to be alone. The first negative in the Bible, the first statement of something being wrong is that Adam is alone.
Yeah.
And it's not good. After all these statements of, it's so good, it's so good, it's so good, every day of creation, then it's so stark to hear, and it's not good for Adam to be alone.
We weren't meant to be alone. So, and this isn't just something we see in the beginning of the Bible. We see this in the life of Jesus. So, Bruce, how does Jesus show us and model for us deep, meaningful relationships?
Yeah, you look at Jesus, and it wasn't just that he mentored one person, like his second in command or something. Nor did he have only minister to crowds. Most of his ministry was to a small group of 12 people that he invited to come take a walk with him. It ended up being a long walk. And for three years. They ate together. They shared life together. They talked. And he invested in those relationships. And there was a deep love relationship among those 12 guys and Jesus.
Yeah. And we see that connection carries on after he ascends into heaven. So after the resurrection and Jesus sends the Spirit. But those 12, with the exception of Judas, obviously, they stay connected.
That's right.
And then they continue to make new disciples who then go out and make more disciples. So you see these little families cropping up all over the Middle East in this time period.
The early church met mostly in homes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what we're talking about this year is bring the vision home. And interestingly, the early church met in homes where they ate together and shared life together, much like Jesus and his disciples, because although they traveled around, it was still in a small area they traveled. But the house churches in the New Testament, where people were probably in walking distance of those homes.
Yeah.
And they knew each other and they saw each other in ordinary life.
Yeah. And and I think there's a beautiful picture of the early church in Acts 2:42-47. It's what the Engage God Daily focuses on this week. But it's just a beautiful picture. This is not long after Pentecost. The Spirit has just arrived. and you see people from all over. The cool thing about Pentecost is you had people coming from all over the ancient world to Jerusalem for Pentecost. And then the Spirit descends, and then immediately they start talking about these little groups forming, these little churches, and they didn't call them churches yet.
That's right.
They were just little assemblies, little groups of
little
people.
Little fellowships of people. Families, as you said.
So what would it have been like, Bruce, if you could, going by what we see in Acts and then in other places in the New Testament, what do you think it would have been like to be in a community?
It would have been so amazing because there was this sense of what God was doing, that the supernatural was happening. Because people were coming to Christ and being saved, just like people are today. And then they're saying, let's rally together and encourage each other. They sang together, they worshiped, they ate together, and they helped other people. It says no one had need. And so they were impacting other people. They were making a difference together as they were building their relationships with each other and with God together. And so I just think that that combination of sharing your life with each other over food, worshiping God, and then making a difference together, that's just, you realize you're part of a movement, but it's something you're doing with your friends. Right. You're uniting together to do this.
Well, and I love the sense of security I feel like must have come to those early believers to be in these kind of communities. Because, I mean, think about it, in the ancient world, there was no welfare. There was no, like, Social Security.
That's right.
There was no, like, you know, social safety net, or however you want to phrase it. If you got sick and couldn't work, your family could starve to death.
That's right.
If you had an accident and broke your leg, you know, I mean, these things were catastrophic and could send people to begging on the street. And yet the Christian community took care of each other. So if somebody got sick, if somebody needed help, and that must have felt amazing to have that sense of fellowship and community and knowing that someone out there's got your back.
And they had a special heart for widows and orphans, people who are in difficult situations they cared for.
Yeah. And that's something we should emulate.
It is.
And that's one of the reasons why we talk about groups. And we don't just have groups because we think it's something the church should do. And it's like it's the foundation's right here in Acts.
And the power when you're going through something hard and your group's there for you.
Yeah.
I haven't been through those levels of crises, but I remember years ago as an adult, I got my tonsils out. They were massively infected and huge. The doctor's like, oh my, these are really big. Well, if you've had tonsils out as an adult, they can start bleeding. The wound can open up a couple of days later. Well, mine did. And it was gross. Okay, there was lots of blood coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, trigger warning.
And sorry, you know, warning to our listeners. And Tamara, you know, bundled me up in the car to take me to the hospital. And, I mean, it was scary. We were racing down the highway. The police came after us. And then we rolled down the window. And she said, look at my husband. I had a big bowl. And anyway, there was blood. And they're like, follow us. And they led us right to the hospital. Well, our life group came to our house and literally cleaned up the blood.
Wow.
And was there with meals from the short time that I was recovering and supported Tamara emotionally and me. And it made all the difference.
Yeah.
To have a group around us when we're going through something hard. And again, there's way more hard things in life, but that was just a real experience for me with our life group some years ago.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been part of groups where someone lost their job.
Right.
And the life group has come together and, you know, taken up money to give that person to help them pay their rent that month. You know, so yeah, we can be there in very tangible, real ways for one another.
I see people in our church right now. There's someone I think of going through a divorce and it's hard and the group's there for her. And someone else just lost a house in a fire and a business that was tied to it. And the life group is rallying around them.
Yeah, it's the level of care is important. And we need each other.
And, you know, we're talking about hard things, but, you know, also, to be in a life group, as Tamara and I were when we were first married and we're having our first children. And who throws the baby shower?
And to celebrate.
And, and celebrates and says, show me the pictures and can I hold the baby? And, you know, bringing gifts and helping with food, all the things. And it's like, wow, there's these people that are celebrating with it. They're anticipating it with you all through the pregnancy and you tell them you're pregnant. And there's a celebration all the way through.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, though. What is different about a group of believers who get together and meet regularly than it is like being part of a golf club or a bowling league or a runner's group or name your hobby?
And of course, some of it is the same. There's a human dynamic because it's the way God created us.
Right.
But The church is called the body of Christ, the temple of the Spirit, the family of the Father. So there's a spiritual dynamic that we all share the same spirit, and we're all parts of the body. So when we come together, we form the whole body. And so there is something incredibly powerful about believers connecting together that's more than human. There's a supernatural component. Sometimes you experience it when you're traveling, say, overseas, and you're in another country with people you don't even know, and you find out someone's a believer. Or you go to a church service in another country, you don't even speak the language, and you feel this mystical connection. These are my people. I'm part of this. And it's powerful.
Yeah. And I think here's the thing that's totally radical and unique and a little bizarre about the church is it overcomes the things that usually divide us.
That's right.
In a supernatural way. So things like race, ethnicity, gender, age, personal preference, you know, demographic group, socioeconomic group, all those things that in our country, political group, that divide us and cause us to go, well, I live here and I do this and you guys are over there and we're separate. In the church, we go, we're going to set all that aside because we worship Jesus and he is who our primary identity is attached to. So it's not attached to our political party or our jobs or our hobbies or our sports team, although all those things are great. But we love Jesus. And because of that, we can overcome some differences. Now, it doesn't always work out perfectly.
But there's such a power to that unity, especially when brothers and sisters overcome what in that given moment in time in that culture is a typically dividing point, like back in the New Testament, Jews and Samaritans.
Right.
Or Jews and Gentiles.
Jews and Gentiles.
Huge to overcome that. And for us today, it's kind of a shrug of the shoulders. But in different countries and different groups, it's hard.
And I do think as a country, we are more divided over all kinds of ideologies,
sure,
more so than ever. I have conversations with young people who are like, yeah, you know, their first question when they go on a date with someone is like, who's your political party? I mean, you know, if you voted for the wrong party in their mind, like, I can't even be friends with you.
Yeah, I've had people say, hey, I'd rather marry across races than across political divides.
Right, right, exactly. So,
or rather my child marry that way, you know.
Yeah, and so, yeah, there are a lot of things that in different eras of time divide us, but in Jesus we come together.
That's
and
right.
It doesn't always work perfectly, and that's the thing. Groups can be messy, and if you've ever been part of a group, you know it's not always smooth sailing, it's not always perfect, but there is an intent and an effort and a desire to come together and find that unity and love one another.
And we learn and grow from people that are different than us.
Yeah.
Sometimes they drive us a little nutty.
Sure.
But we probably drive them a little nutty.
I don't drive anyone nutty.
Oh, no,
Bruce.
You're awesome. You're perfect. I'm sorry. That's, you know. You're...
And neither does Bruce. He is also, also perfect. Okay. So let me ask you this, though. So people are out there listening, hopefully. And some of these people who are listening are not connected in any kind of group with other believers. And let's talk about some of the reasons why.
Sure.
Let's see if we can guess.
Okay.
So you out there listener who are sitting here listening who are not connected in any way with other believers in some kind of small group, let's see if we can guess the reason why you're not. Number one, time.
I'm too busy. I can't meet Monday night or any weeknight, and the weekends are full, and the mornings are tough, and the evenings where you're too tired.
Yeah. You just can't figure out how to fit it in your schedule. So time is a huge one.
Frankly, I get a little tired of the time one because I'm like, so how many hours do you have in a day? Oh, yeah. And how many days of the week are there that you live? Oh, yeah. We all
what is
have
it? We all have 100, is we, it 168 hours a week?
We all have the exact same amount of time. It's a matter of really choices and values, and you make time for what's important.
Well, and I think, yeah, exactly.
Now,
and
that doesn't mean, I don't mean to discount. There
no,
are seasons and stages
seasons
in life,
of life
where you've got little bitty babies.
Or when you have kids in every kind of sport and activity
right.
and thing, and you're just doing nothing but driving around.
Or you're a single parent working two jobs.
Yeah.
But I have found that even in some of those situations, the strength of a small group is worth it.
Yeah.
You're a single mom working a couple of jobs, but to have one night or one afternoon where you're with a small group who's praying for you, encouraging you, listening to the struggles of being a single mom, and celebrating the wins with you, with your kids and all, that
yeah, it's
can
worth
be
it.
Worth it.
It's an investment of time, but it's a worthy
right.
investment. Well, and I will say this, here at Christ Fellowship, we have groups that meet all different times.
All different times.
And we have life groups that meet every other week, if a weekly thing you don't think you can do. And we have men's Bible studies that meet at 6 a.m. on Friday mornings. And we have women's groups that meet on, you know, Wednesday in the mid-morning. And then we have evening group. Every night of the week, there's some kind of group up here.
That's right.
In fact, if you want to start a new group and you want to meet at the church, we're sorry, you can't.
Yeah.
Because we're out of space.
That's right. Good problem to have.
Good problem to have. We have so many.
That's why we have
groups.
Our groups meet in homes, because then they can multiply.
Yes. Unlimited. Yes. So please offer your home if you want to start a new group. But yes, we have. And look, I also think it's important to say, you know, for some people, a lot of the groups we have, I bet there's a group just about for anybody.
Yeah.
But what's mainly important is that you're meeting with other believers.
Well,
we're not.
I hear this objection though, Lisa, but I don't know anybody in the group.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You, of course not, because you haven't been yet.
Oh, that's right. And do you remember what Mom said? Mom said, you have to be a friend to make a friend.
That's right. You have to be a friend to make a friend. But I would just say we're not pushing groups because we want to fill our rosters with people. It's really not about that. And I know a family.
It's not about a church program.
It's really not. And I know a family who they moved to a new neighborhood that's kind of far from the church, but they still wanted to stay connected to our church. And the mom is really involved in women's Bible studies. But they found a couple of other families in their neighborhood.
Oh, that's cool.
And they go to different churches, but they meet every week together.
Yeah, I love that.
As a group of believers. And so just to be clear.
If you're doing that and you're listening today, that's a great thing.
That's a great thing. And we want to encourage that. We just want you to be with other people. And yes, be a friend to make a friend.
And I think a lot of people, including me at times in my life, there's a hesitancy of, it's a little awkward, I don't know these people.
Right.
Is it going to be weird? Am I going to like them? Are they going to like me? I'm a little shy. I know it doesn't look like I'm shy being a pastor on the stage, but I'm really more introverted than extroverted.
Right. Me too.
So.
Well, and that's another big objection that people have is shy, awkward. Like if I go, first of all, I'm not going to know anybody, and then it's going to be awkward and weird. And you know what? It's going to be awkward and weird for a couple of weeks until you get to know people.
Yeah. In Christian circles, I hear people say, look, I don't want to go because I don't want someone to ask me to pray.
Right.
I don't want someone to ask me to read the Bible. I'm not good at reading out loud.
Right. And, or they just have certain expectations in their head of what this group is
going to
be like.
We've trained our leaders. Don't do that to people.
Right.
Like, the leader is going to come ask you and say, are you comfortable praying or comfortable reading the Bible? And if you're new, they're not going to ask you. They're going to ask somebody that already knows is plenty comfortable doing that.
Right. They want you to feel welcome.
I also hear people say, but I don't know anything about the Bible. I'm going to feel stupid. They're going to ask me a question. I won't know the answer. Again, we train our leaders not to do that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to embarrass you or make you feel silly.
No,
or
it's
dumb.
Not a test. There's not like an entry exam to get in the room.
Also, other people don't know the Bible either.
Right.
So you're
and
fine.
Some people think they do, but don't.
That's
so,
right.
So there's that. There's also like a fear of rejection. I think, and look, let me paint a mental picture for you, and I want you to tell me the feeling that comes in your body. First day of school, brand new school, it's lunch. You walk out of the cafeteria line with your tray. What do you feel?
Stomach's in a knot.
Yes. You're sweating, your stomach's in a knot, that feeling that we all get, because we all have that fear of rejection. Like, what if I don't fit
you're
in? What
at
if
all
people
the tables,
don't like
which
me?
Which one can I sit at?
Right. Are they going to accept me? Are they going to laugh at me?
Yeah.
And so we promise our you're going to be okay. And you're going to have to just overcome that fear that we all have. I mean, even very confident, very charismatic, gregarious people still get nervous when they meet new people.
Oh, sure.
It's
oh,
just
sure.
part of human nature. So, but just, you know, press through it. Also, it's okay to change groups. That's another
That's
thing.
Exactly
people go,
right.
What if I get in this group and I don't like these people, or we don't have anything in common, or it's weird or it's awkward.
Sure.
You can move groups.
Just change groups.
Yep. It's okay.
No problem.
You can, in fact, sometimes you do have to try a few out, because maybe you're looking for a group. Maybe you have preschoolers and you want to be in a group with other parents of young kids. Yeah, you can find a group for that. Okay, another one, fear of commitment.
Oh, yeah, that some people, this comes from several directions. One is people who are a little more perfectionist and rule-driven, like, well, the group meets every other week, and I'm going to have to miss two out of the next 25.
Because I'll be out of town.
And
yes.
You're like, you know what, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Other people are like, I don't want to commit every other Thursday night or Sunday night, because what if something else comes up?
What if someone invites me to something better?
It's the FOMO. Or, you know, there's a show on TV I want to watch or whatever. It's like, you know what? You need to go ahead and make commitments in your life. And also we understand if something comes up that's huge,
Right.
But if you live your life that way, then you never get to know people and you don't get in a group.
Yeah, it is
worth it.
It
blocks you, paralyzes you.
It is. Other things is sometimes it's past hurt. Sometimes people have been in groups and it didn't go well. Maybe there was gossip. Maybe there was someone who judged them. Maybe there was they felt that people were fake or insincere. There's lots of things
and
that
listen,
could happen.
My heart really goes out to you. If you had that experience, it can be so painful. I've walked through those with many people, with the group leader and the group members, where it just didn't go well. And frankly, some bad things happened. And that's not the typical group, but it happens.
Yeah.
And if it happened to you, I'm just really sorry. And I would encourage you not to write off groups entirely, but to take another risk. I know that's scary, but it's worth it to take another risk. And you can do a little homework and check out the group. And frankly, you can ask Lisa or Ray for some of the leaders. Hey, is this group a good one? Like,
yeah,
for real.
Yeah. And because we want to help connect you to the right group.
You know, none of our groups are bad.
No.
But we can say, oh yeah, this leader's been a leader for 20 years. Or
we
can give you some assurances and give you some encouragement about who people are.
And look, if you are in a group, so we've been talking to people that have objections, right? Because they're not in a group and they have reasons why. But if you are in a group, one of the things you could do to help is when you meet someone who's not in a group, invite them to your group or help them get connected. You be the one that helps them feel more comfortable. Go, hey, I'll go with you to Regen.
Right. Everybody
for a
loves
couple of
an
weeks.
Invitation and to go with a friend. And
yes.
I'll pick you up. Let's go together because maybe they don't know the directions to the house you're meeting at. And let's go together. And
yeah, you can be a great ambassador for your group or for other ministries
at
the church.
And then I'd say to welcome in new people because the new person's wondering, do you want me here? And some groups kind of radiate a vibe of, hey, there's no more room.
Yeah, we're closed.
Yeah, and hey, who's this new person? Like, I'm going to go talk to my friends and sit and eat the chips and dips with my buddies. It's bring the new person in, welcome them, make them realize that you used to be one day, a long time ago, you were the first person or a new person.
You were the kid with the cafeteria tray,
right,
walking out of the line,
so
going, where am I going to sit?
Empathizing. They're probably feeling awkward. They're feeling uncomfortable. And you help them to connect into your group.
Yeah. And that's so important. I mean, one of the ways that we can encourage more people to be part of groups is if we are good group members.
That's right.
And that means, like we've talked about recently, no gossip, no backbiting. Lots of prayer, lots of welcome, lots of genuine connection, not a bunch of fakery and
holding confidentiality. People ask you to be confidential.
Yes, hold confidentiality. And so the healthier our groups are, the more they're going to attract other people.
And another thing that makes groups healthy is connecting outside the group meetings, that the group is more than just the every other week meeting or every week meeting, but get together, have lunch with someone, have some breakfast, have coffee, go out together, go see a movie, but connect with the group members, or at least one or two. Sometimes you're not going to be close to everybody in the group. That's normal.
Yeah.
But if you could develop even a deeper friendship with one other person, one other couple, that'd be great.
Well, because really in the, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, you meet once a week or once every other week, you don't really have a chance to really form deep, meaningful relationships unless you spend some time together outside the group, or you at least connect on via text or phone calls or something.
You know, one avenue for some people is going to be some of our mid-sized groups.
Yeah.
Because what we do then, like for instance, one that I'm particularly excited about this fall is our Digging Deeper on Thursday nights, and we're around tables. And so you get to know the people around the table. Most people sit at the same table every time. So it's a little softer entry into making friends and being in a group. You're not like locked in a home and thinking I'm with 2 hours in this home. You're in a big room at the church where we're engaging the whole group. Maybe it's 100 people. And then there's 10 tables of 10 people each or whatever, however there are, maybe 6 or 8 people around a table. And you can get to know those people.
Yeah.
So this particular Digging Deeper is just a topic that's super important to me. It's about how to study the Bible. How to read the Bible, how to grasp it is the title. And it's just going to be outstanding. Lisa and I have looked at the material.
Well, I've led this group. We've both led
groups through this textbook. And it's serious. It's a full-out textbook. But gosh, in terms of not only meeting people and building those relationships, but learning a lifetime skill of how to read the Bible, I kind of wish everybody in our church would go to Digging Deeper this particular season.
Yeah, and I'm going to be teaching it along with Rafe and then Bruce.
And now that's a reason you got to go. Lisa's teaching it. Did you hear that?
Well, and Rafe, right, is our adult ministries pastor. And I was going to say, and Bruce will pop in when he's available. I don't know if you know this, but Bruce is a busy guy, but he's going to be there too sometimes. So you should definitely check out Digging Deeper. Like Bruce, I'm like, everyone should do this. Okay, so we've helped people with thinking about the mid-sized groups. What should they do about other groups? What if they want to find out about other things besides Digging Deeper?
Yeah, we started thinking, how can we make this fun? Mm-hmm. So we've got a little quiz, you know, kind of fun quizzes you take on Facebook or wherever else. So this is like a little 11-question fun quiz that helps you zero in on what would probably be one of my top two or three best choices for groups or courses at the church.
Mm-hmm. And it's available on our app.
Available on our app.
Also, every Sunday in August and the first Sunday in September, we're doing Group Connect.
Yeah.
So if you come on Sunday and wander around the lobby, you'll see people representing right. these different groups, and they're happy to answer your questions.
You can go meet check someone. Them out, talk
that
to people.
Way, you know, when you say, I won't know anybody, well, you will know one person.
That's right. That's right.
Because you will talk to the person who's hosting the group.
And we want to help you get in a group. So in addition to checking them out yourself, just ask anyone on staff, and we would glad to be your personal concierge and
yes.
help you find. No, seriously, we would love to help you find a group that fits you. Tell us about your situation, when you're free, what kind of group you want, where you think, what place in your spiritual growth you are that would help you grow, and we'll help you find just the group that fits you for right now.
Yeah, but bottom line, the important thing is that you find Christian community.
That's
it is
right.
so important that you have other believers in your life that you are connected to that will help you with those feelings of loneliness and the anxiety and the addiction and the depression and all the other things.
That's right.
Life is just so much easier to go through when you've got your squad, your tribe
That's right.
around you. People who also love Jesus and also will pray for you and also will come alongside you and walk through life with you. We just
That's
don't
right.
want anyone to do this alone. We
it
really
doesn't work.
Don't.
It doesn't work alone. You end up falling away.
Yeah. So we want to help you. So let us help you.
We are
help
here for you.
Me help you. To quote a very old movie. All right. Well, this is good. Bruce, would you close us in prayer?
Sure. God, thank you that you are a community yourself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you've invited us into your love to be part of your family as your sons. Lord, I pray for each one of us that those who are lonely would find community, and every single one of us would develop real friends, and we would find a community of people, a group, where we could be known and be loved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, we will see you back next week.